In today's world, staying informed is key. While catching up on the news, why not start your entrepreneurial journey? Taylor Brands makes forming your LLC simple and affordable, from registered agents to business licenses. Plus, they offer all the tools you need, like bookkeeping and business documents, all in one place. Right now, get 35% off LLC formation plans with our link, taylorbrands.com/podcast. That's TAILOR brands.com/podcast. Start your journey with Taylor Brands today.
Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show. One of my favorite people in the whole world, one of my favorite commentators and thinkers and writers is John Hinderaker. He is one of the co-publishers, co-founders of the Powerline blog, powerlineblog.com. You got to go there at least once a day to be informed and smart and get great insights. John, thanks for being with us. I appreciate you so much.
Hey, great to be with you, Seth.
Thank you. One of the reasons, aside from all the other reasons I just stated, I wanted to have you on is you are based in Minnesota. In fact, you run a think tank in Minnesota as well. And in the debate last night, I did a word count. Minnesota came up 32 times. To hear Tim Walz tell the tale, he has presided over the kind of state that we should all want to move to. Now, I don't want to rain on the parade that you may have in your wonderful life there. But John, it's not what I read about Minnesota, and it's not what I've heard from you about Minnesota in the past. Tim Walz's Minnesota is not necessarily in comportment with the real Minnesota, is it?
No, it sure isn't, Seth. So to back up just a little bit, the moderators last night had no interest in Tim Walz's record right. as governor of Minnesota.
Right.
And that's probably a good thing for Walz because his record is absolutely terrible. And my policy organization has been documenting this continuously for the 5.5 years that Tim Walz has been the governor. We can talk about the details of that to whatever extent
sure.
you want to.
Sure.
And I'm quite confident that J.D. Vance was prepared with some basic facts and data that my organization has published if the moderators had wanted to talk about how the Walz administration has done in Minnesota. Unfortunately, the topic really hardly ever came up. But as you said, Seth, there were times when Walz would at least imply that his administration in Minnesota had done something constructive about the various problems that were being discussed. And in particular, kind of back-to-back, Walz said that he cited the things that had been done by his administration in Minnesota on housing and child care as if they were efforts to bring down the costs mm-hmm. of those things. And, of course, the price of housing and the price of child care are big issues
yep.
in various places around the country.
Yep.
And what's ironic about that, Seth, is that my organization happens to have published reports both on housing in Minnesota and on child care in Minnesota. And in both of those reports, what we found was that housing is more expensive in Minnesota than in any comparable state, like, for example, Wisconsin. And child care is more expensive in Minnesota than in any comparable state. And in each case, the reason is excessive and irrational government overregulation.
Mm-hmm.
So the very policy areas that Tim Walz tried to cite as success stories, in fact, are anything but.
Yeah, and thank you for that, John. And we can go into any other policies you want as well. One of the things specifically, I'll leave it up to you to bring them up as you may like in our interview, but one of the things that I thought was an interesting moment in the debate, because I knew the moment the exchange, the byplay took place, the media would ignore it as an after-the-fact fact check, and that had to do with Minnesota and Tim Walz and post-birth abortion. Do you have a sense or a read on what J.D. Vance charged and that Tim Walz said was not the case?
Well, yeah, I mean, and I can't reconstruct the exact exchange, but this is something that's been going on really ever
since. Yeah, I can give it to you or the audience. Can I take just a half a second?
That,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah. He said he was charged with signing off on legislation that allowed abortion to take place even after a botched abortion procedure gave birth to a live child. And Tim Walz was denying it.
Well, I think Walz denied, too, that abortion had been legalized up to and including the moment of
right,
birth.
Right.
There's no question about that, Seth.
Okay.
The Democrats bragged about it at the time. There's no doubt that all restrictions on abortion have been eliminated. So if somebody goes in, you know, a half hour before giving birth, that abortion in Minnesota is perfectly legal. Now, beyond that, the DFL majority in the Minnesota House and Senate passed a bill that included a repeal of the Born Alive Act.
Right.
Minnesota previously had a law, the Born Alive Act, that said that if a baby was born inadvertently in spite of a botched abortion attempt, that baby had a right to live, mm-hmm. and that medical personnel had to use their reasonable efforts to keep it alive.
Mm-hmm.
That was repealed.
Mm.
And if you read the statute as it now stands following the repeal of the Born Alive Act, it is, I think, the only reasonable interpretation of the current Minnesota law is that if a baby is born, and by the way, it's not clear that this only applies in the case of a botched abortion.
Right.
I think it also applies, and it may be interpreted to apply in the case of a baby that is born and turns out to have a birth defect.
Right.
And so the duty, number one, to keep that baby alive, use reasonable methods, efforts to keep the baby alive, and number two, the Born Alive Act had a reporting requirement, so that if this happened, you had to report it. And you might ask, well, that sounds like something that would never happen, you know. But in fact, on the average, it happened about three times a year.
Yeah, I saw a report on it that showed, I think, eight last year alone. And, you know, one of the things I will hear when I bring up, you know, this gruesome, rare but gruesome occurrence, as people say, well, what mom would ever do that? I mean, who would ever do that? And I'm sympathetic to that point. But the truth is, people do things all the time that kind of raise your eyebrow.
Seth,
and you
Seth,
think
just read a newspaper.
Andrea Yates, you know, they exist. People like this exist. You know?
Yeah, just read a newspaper.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
People do things.
We have crime
all
in America. We have people doing bad things in America.
All the
yeah.
time. And
right.
you wonder how in the world can
right.
anyone
right. Right.
could anyone do that? So this is a case, and we see this, you know, pretty often, where the Democrats, they have a big signing ceremony when they pass this legislation, and they're patting each other on the back because it's so incredibly radical. But when they're not talking among themselves,
right.
when an outsider starts shining the light of day on what they've actually done, well, they retreat and they say, no, that's not what it says. But that's a completely indefensible position.
Correct. John, I got to take a commercial break. Are you able to stay with me a little bit longer?
Oh, you bet.
I want to talk to you. You had a really great post. Again, let me direct the audience to it over at Powerline Blog, A Good Night for the GOP. And I wanted to talk to you a little bit about that. And one of the areas that you are just expert in, which is media bias and media tipping of scales, I wanted to get into that a little bit with you, too. You mentioned it in your long post or your detailed post at Powerline. So John Hinderacher and I will be right back on the other side of this break. As I go to break, folks, October 27th, Battleground Talkers Tour. Get your tickets at 960thepatriot.com. We're bringing in Larry Elder. We're bringing in Dr. Seb Gorka. Charlie Kirk will be there. I'll be there. Carrie Lake will be there. Others will be there. David will be there. We have VIP, which gets you dinner with our speakers, and we have general admission, which gets you the main event. 960thepatriot.com to get your tickets. It's going to be the conservative event of the year here in Arizona. You don't want to miss it. And as for the right here and now, John Hinderacher and I will be right back. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show. John Hinderacher is my guest, Hinderacher. He is one of the co-publishers and co-founders of the Powerline blog, Must Reading. You got to go there at least once a day. You'll get updates throughout the day there, but thepowerlineblog.com to be informed. John, you you have, in many respects, cut your teeth famously with the Powerline blog on exposing the media, at least in an accelerated way when you guys outed Dan Rather. And I was just last night watching the debate. A lot of my colleagues have been focused on the moderators, particularly Margaret Warner, but both of them really kind of putting their finger on the scales and intervening on the issue of Springfield, Ohio, and the legality of the Haitian migrants or immigrants there. And I got to tell you, precisely 10 minutes before that, the one that really jarred me was after the discussion on climate change and energy policy when Nora O'Donnell said at the end of Tim Walz's final statement on the issue, she said, "The overwhelming consensus among scientists is that the Earth's climate is warming at an unprecedented rate." I just thought, what the hell was that? It felt like a forced confession, but a self-imposed forced confession. It didn't add it. It was odd as hell to me, John.
Well, Seth, I'm so glad you said that because I noticed the same thing and I haven't heard much about it.
No one has focused on it and it jarred the hell out of me.
So there's been a lot of attention paid to the attempted fact check on immigration, which Vance properly pushed back against and which violated the rules. They weren't supposed to be fact checking the participants. But they did this, the moderators did this two or three times at the end of a Q&A back and forth.
Right.
They would just assert something, state it as an established fact, and then move on. Now, it wasn't really a fact check because it didn't contradict anything that J.D. Vance said.
Absolutely right, and it didn't need to be said.
No, it was a Democratic Party talking point. That was just added at the end, just in case anybody might have been persuaded by things that Vance was saying, and he was doing very well on
that. Or just in case Nora O'Donnell's friends weren't sure, about, it was like a weird signal I felt.
But it was also a false statement of fact, okay? It was a false statement of fact. It is not the case that the moderate warming that we've seen over recent decades is unprecedented.
Right.
It's anything but unprecedented.
Right.
It is common. It's happened many, many, many times, and often in a much more rapid way. When the ice ages come and go, there's amazingly rapid cooling and warming, amazingly rapid.
Right.
What we have been seeing is anything but unprecedented. And so the moderator uttered a false statement, and she just said it, as a statement of fact, and then moved on to the next topic. It was a classic example of how these moderators have their thumb on.
Whoops.
Seth, because Tim Walz was horrible last night.
Yeah,
he was an embarrassment to the Democrats, and they knew that. Walz needed all the help he could get.
All of that. And it came out of nowhere, too, because it wasn't really quite on point to what they were talking about. And I thought, who was she saying that to? And I don't know if it was a semaphore to her colleagues or if the boss. But that issue itself is kind of a theocratic orthodoxy, isn't it, on the left, this thing about the Earth and climate change. I mean, we all care about it, and probably you and I are more outdoorsy than maybe the average American. But I got to tell you, it's a religion. It's a weird religion.
It's a religion, and under the tenets of that religion, facts are utterly optional. Here's another example. Tim Walz is an incredibly dishonest politician. I mean, it is amazing, if you follow him closely, as I have for a number of years now, the things he says that are blatantly false, it's just unbelievable. And so last night, they were talking about climate change. And he said, well, Minnesota farmers, they know all about climate change.
Right.
Because last year, we had the 500-year drought.
Right.
And this year, we had the 500-year flood.
Floods, yes.
That is from outer space.
You were wondering,
500 years takes you basically back to Christopher Columbus.
Yeah,
so he's saying that last year there was an unprecedented drought in the entire known history of the state of Minnesota, which is just absurd.
Somehow we are still here. Somehow
the biggest floods in history. Again, completely. He just made that up. It was totally false.
Somehow we've made it. This was a short segment. You want to stick around or you got to run?
I'll stick around.
All right, great. John Hinderacher is my guest. I want to talk about the other one too, the other fact check. And I want to talk about just the way the media treats conservatives and Republicans. As I say, John Hinderacher, well, I'll tell you the bona fides when we come back. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show. John Hinderacher is our guest. He is a co-publisher, co-founder of the Powerline blog, powerlineblog.com. And John and his colleagues and just a few others did just yeoman's work back in 2004 when the media, CBS again, by the way, as I think about it, tried to change the election by disseminating false information about George W. Bush. And Hinderacher and the guys just did a great effort, just a great job of what CBS and a better media would have done, proving that CBS was wrong about all that, and with ideological blinders or gloves on, I should say. Last night, John, right as you said, irrespective of the rules that were laid down, the other big back and forth and byplay between J.D. Vance and the moderators, in this case more Margaret Brennan than Nora O'Donnell, as in the first instance, had to do with the Springfield, Ohio Haitian migrant story. And what was kind of interesting to me is, again, Margaret Brennan didn't need to say anything. And moreover, they got into this whole back and forth when he tried to respond to her and they had to cut his mics, and it went back and forth a little bit, and all under the guise of we have so much more to get to. And it just dawned on me, you know, you wouldn't have gotten into any of that if you just played by the rules, Margaret Brennan. If you just did what you said you were going to do, you guys kind of fired the first shot here, and then you fired the second shot, and then we got into this whole contretemps that was totally unnecessary.
Well, that's right, Seth. And I think this is at a point in the debate where Tim Walz was doing so badly and the immigration issue is so powerful for Donald Trump and J.D. Vance, I think the moderators kind of panicked and thought they just – to be honest, I don't know their names. I don't watch CBS News. This is all, you know, whatever. But whichever one it was, you know, launched into this supposed fact check about Springfield, Ohio, and it was a violation of the rules that had been agreed on by the participants. And J.D. Vance very properly pushed back. And you know, I am not, you know, intimately familiar with the details of this particular aspect of immigration law, but as I understand it, the question had to do with whether these 20,000 Haitians are legal or illegal immigrants. And my sort of crude understanding is that there's a town of like 40,000 people, Springfield, and they took 20,000 Haitians and stuck them in this town.
After legal, yeah, right. Yeah, go ahead.
The consequences have been horrendous in terms of, well, everything. You can only imagine. I mean, traffic accidents, for one thing.
Right.
Apparently, a lot of these people are not sure how to drive, and so traffic accidents have ballooned. And you can imagine the demand on public services, whether it's hospitals or schools or anything else. And so the Democrats say, but these 20,000 Haitians are legal immigrants, not illegal, so it's A-okay. And, of course, we could have a whole long conversation about this, but this goes to the fact that the Biden-Harris administration is basically legalized illegal immigration.
That's right. These folks were illegal on Monday, and by wave of wand, I think that was actually J.D. Vance's phrase, by wave of wand, executive action, they'd made them legal. Right.
And I think the real takeaway, well, there's two things. Number one, just the brute fact. If you take a town of 40,000 people and you drop 20,000 Haitian immigrants on them, what do you think is going to happen?
Or anywhere.
Or anywhere.
Right, right.
I mean, what's going to happen? We've seen it all across the country. the consequences of this.
Look at what 20 people do to Martha's Vineyard. My God.
Yeah, that's right.
You know?
That's right. The rich liberals
right.
on Martha's Vineyard.
Right.
Oh, my 20 or 30. Oh, my God.
Right.
Send them back.
Right.
I mean, what was the crisis?
Right.
It was a world historical
right.
crisis
right.
when he had 20 or 30 of them
right.
on Martha's Vineyard.
Right.
No, absolutely.
Right.
And so I think the real takeaway, I'll go away from the debate for a moment here, Seth, because I think the real takeaway is that we conservatives have sometimes gotten a little too sucked into this easy dichotomy between legal immigration,
mm-hmm.
great, wonderful, we're in favor of it,
mm-hmm.
and illegal immigration, oh, no, that's terrible, we're against it. Because the fact is that you have to look at the whole picture of immigration, and the largest number of people by far entering across the southern border, and in fact illegally, but you know, are people who are allegedly asylum seekers.
Right.
So every single person in the third world knows that if you come to the Rio Grande River and get yourself across into the U.S., and if you're not apprehended, take a bus to California. If you are apprehended, just say the magic
right.
word
right.
asylum,
yep.
and they'll say, oh, okay, they'll
right.
give you a phone. They'll put you on an airplane.
Right.
They'll fly you somewhere. They'll put you up. They'll feed you. If you come to Minnesota, they'll send you to college for free. They'll give you free health care. They'll give you a driver's license. And they'll give you a date for a court hearing on your asylum petition sometime a decade from now. And it's
yep.
never going to happen. Okay, we all know that will never happen. You are here to stay. And all of that, if you ask the Democrats, they'll say, oh, yeah, that's all under the rubric of legal immigration.
Right. And I'm with you, by the way, on the dichotomy, but I do want to point out that every once in a while they do say it out loud. They do say what J.D. Vance alleged out loud. About 3 weeks ago, Nancy Pelosi was on the Bill Maher Friday Night HBO show, Real Time, I think it's called. And he was asking her about, you know, some of the crazy things the left does. He said, for example, here in California, there is a bill to give subsidies to illegal immigrants to buy housing. Housing subsidies to illegals. And Bill Maher said, you know, I'm pretty liberal on immigration, but is that really what we want to be doing with a state with budgetary problems, is giving money to illegals to buy housing? And do you know what Nancy Pelosi said? It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. She, if at least for illustrative purposes, she said, well, I want to make them legal. Okay, that they will tell you what J.D. Vance said. On Monday, they were illegal. On Friday, they're legal by wave of wand.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, that issue, and I think one of the reasons why that was the issue where the moderators broke the rules,
yeah.
you know, to jump in and try to lend Tim Walz a hand, is that that issue is death for the Democrats.
It is.
Their position
is
massively unpopular.
Absolutely.
And I'll go beyond that. It's massively unpopular with the key swing voters in this election.
Yep.
You know, the high-income Democratic Party voters who are ideological on like the trans issue
yep.
and things like that, and who in many cases have got a financial interest in the trillions of dollars being spent by government. You know, we should never overlook that. They're not influenced. Principled conservatives on our side, you know, we care about this issue, but our votes are locked in. You
yep.
know what I mean?
Yep.
Like there are a whole bunch of votes locked in on both sides. But then there's other votes that are up for grabs.
Yep.
And these are people who are swing voters and who don't always vote. You know, they're not politically minded. They're not obsessed with the news. But these are people who have been badly hurt by inflation and in many, many, many cases have been hurt by immigration,
yep.
illegal and sort of borderline legal migration. And those are the votes that I think are going to ultimately sway this election, determine the election, and those are the votes that I think the Democrats are really afraid of.
I think you're right, and it explains why they want to censor the whole issue. John Hinderaker, bless you, sir. Godspeed. Thanks for spending some of your afternoon with us, or evening, I should say. Thank you, John.
Hey, thank you, Seth.
You
Bye-bye.
Bet, as always. We'll be right back.
Enjoy the next 30 seconds of relaxation from Ely, Minnesota. Plan your autumn getaway at Ely.org.